fighting for America.
This is turning into a regional conflict, which does pose a threat to the security of the United States.
Only Iraq can save Iraq.
Fighting for Idaho.
There was at least one shot fired within the car.
He started to get down, but the officer still approached with his weapon drawn, and he fired several more shots, and my friend died.
Fighting for you.
What the heck's going on with the world? You've got Gaza. You've got Iraq. You've got Syria. You've got the Christians being slaughtered. You've got the Chinese. Am I leaving something out? Oh, the border.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
That's a lot of ding-dongs.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Our guest, Idaho State Treasurer Ron Crane with us. Talk a lot about money, which we always like to do. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. Pleasure to be on your show again.
So here we are. The season is kicking off, as we talked about off the air. You know, the primaries are over. The campaigning getting ready to go. In between your day job of keeping the state's money going, you're doing a lot of campaign appearances. What's that like balancing the act there?
That's a challenge, especially in the smaller campaigns like mine. I don't have a lot of surrogates and campaign staff to go out and do those kinds of things. So it basically boils down to me. And
right.
So I have to be the one that goes out and shakes the hands and kisses the babies and passes out the brochures and the yard signs and all those kinds of things. And Idaho is a huge state geographically, as you well know.
Right.
So if it's a long ways from Bonner's Ferry to Soda Springs.
Indeed. I'm sure you're getting a lot of free advice as well.
Oh, absolutely. People always have opinions. But you know what? That's what we like to hear. We like to hear what people are thinking.
Sure. So based on traveling the state and being the steward for the state's finances, what are people talking about?
Money.
Yeah.
Money. People are concerned about their money, how they're managing their money, if there's going to be enough to go around. A lot of them are living from paycheck to paycheck. And, you know, I've had the opportunity and pleasure to host a Smart Women, Smart Money conference that I've talked with you on your show about before that talks about financial management and how to plan and save and invest and take care of the finances that we have. And last week we were up in Moscow. We're going to be taking our conference to Moscow, Idaho, for the first time this year. And I'm telling you, Kevin, the enthusiasm and excitement for that conference in Moscow is really exciting. You know, we've done it here in Boise for the entire time that I've been the state treasurer. And we've had 22,000 women that have gone through that conference, and a lot of men as well, by the way. But one of the questions that I get is, why Boise? What about the rest of the state?
Sure.
So we've been to Idaho Falls 3 times. We've been to Twin Falls 3 times. We've been to Coeur d'Alene 6 times. And now we're going to Moscow. And the enthusiasm that we received there last week was absolutely overwhelming. Our keynote speaker this year on September 25th in Moscow will be Patty Duke,
wow,
the famous actress. And we're really looking forward to that. She and her husband are going to drive down. They live in Coeur d'Alene. I don't know if you're aware of that or not. And they're going to drive down for the conference and be our keynote speaker. The governor and his wife are coming up to give a special greeting. We can seat about 440 women at the University Inn Best Western there in Moscow. We're at about 300 registrations already, so it's going to be a packed house. So if you have any friends or relatives in that area that would like to attend, they need to get their name on the registration list early at smartwomensmartmoney.com and get signed up for it. It is free, and that's a beautiful thing. But, you know, one of the things that I wanted to mention to you this morning is that during my tenure as state treasurer, I've had the pleasure and good fortune to earn over $1 billion in interest income.
Wow.
For the state of Idaho and its political subdivisions. $1.137 billion. We just got the numbers here last month in interest. So that is money that taxpayers did not have to furnish. That is money that we were able to earn off of our interest income.
Well, you know, we were talking about that before you got here, sir, and how does that work here at 580KIDO, where you have, last time we had you on, we were talking about the state's great bond rating and how it's really a value for investors. But how does that work? Is it the same thing as people buying stocks in a business, or how does that work, people investing in Idaho?
Yeah, it's the investments that we make with the state's general fund, the state agency monies, and then we also have a third fund that we manage called the Local Government Investment Pool, LGIP. That runs about $1.5 billion, give or take. And then the other fund, two funds, total about $1.5 billion. So we have about $3 billion under management on any given day. But we're earning interest on that money as it flows through the system, making that money work for us, realizing that every dime that we earn in interest income is money that taxpayers don't have to come up with. And so that really is an exciting thing. This is more money than any other treasurer in the history of the state has earned, or more than the previous two treasurers earned combined. So I'm very proud of it. Sent out a press release around the state.
Sure.
It didn't get picked up by any of the newspapers.
Imagine that.
But that's why we're on electronic radio this morning talking about it.
Well, you bring up a good point here at 580KIDO, because there are a lot of states, whether it's California or Illinois or New Jersey, they're not doing so well when it comes to just basic services.
Oh, you're absolutely right. The way that we manage our money, the way that we handle our finances, is so respected on Wall Street. And you and I have had this discussion before. In fact, on this program, the fact that I was able to borrow nearly $500 million this year at 11 basis points, or that translates into $11 per $100,000. Now, that's our operating cash. That gets us from November 15th through April the 1st, and when our money starts to come in, as you know. And so if I can borrow $500 million at 11 basis points, or $11 per $100,000, that is virtually free money. And the reason that happens is because of the excellent credit rating that we have with Wall Street. We are so well respected because of how we handle our finances. In the bad times, we cut budgets to match revenues. In the good times, we tuck money away in savings accounts and prepare for the bad times. And it's like anybody would do with their household budget, with their household finances. And it's the right way to do it. But other states don't do that. A lot of other states have these enormous arguments over spending more money, and the more you spend, you're going to spend your way out into prosperity. You and I both know that doesn't work. And so Idaho doesn't do that. And we are able to come together and manage our finances very well.
580-5436, 580-KIDO. If you have a question for Ron Crane, we continue on here talking about money in the state of Idaho. What gets me, though, is that money can be very intimidating, and we see that at the national level. I mean, here you have the government continuing to print money, which we don't have. How does that impact a state like Idaho when, again, the Fed continues to keep interest rates low, number one, but number two, they're printing money that a lot of financial experts believe they never have the intention of paying back? That wouldn't work for you, sir.
No, it sure wouldn't. And thank God that's not the way that we operate. I've heard Senator Risch say so many times, if I could take the Idaho legislature to Washington, D.C. for just 6 months, we would have this mess solved, and they could come home and we would be in good shape. But you're exactly right. They're printing money that is essentially worthless, and like there's no tomorrow. And someday the piper's going to have to be paid, and I'm afraid it's our kids and our grandkids that are going to be stuck with the bill. That's immoral and wrong.
Well, is there anything that the states can do about it, considering that, again, you govern our economy a lot more effectively than the feds?
Well, you raise an interesting point, because you and I both know they're broke. And yet they're constantly dangling dollars out in trying to get the states to take this free money, whether it's the Garvey Highway Program through the Garvey Program, or whether it's the expansion of Medicaid, or whatever it may be. They're dangling dollars out there, and states, looking for money just like anybody else is. But the problem is the feds really don't have any money. And
right.
So it's a dangerous precedent when we start going down that road.
Indeed. Ron Crane with us here. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. How do you see the future of the state, considering that, through the hard times, people were tapping into the rainy day fund and everything else. Now we're talking about that Idaho still has a great, if not excellent, credit rating. How do we see, you know, can we ever put enough money in there? You know, Dave Ramsey always talks about the snowball and the rainy day fund and all that sort of things.
Well, the emergency account is one of the things that Dave Ramsey talked, the emergency fund.
Sure.
And that's kind of like our rainy day fund. But, you know, I was excited to see this year the governor step forward and proposed that we increase the cap on the rainy day fund from 5% to 10% so that we had a larger fund set aside for those economic tough times. We had about 14% of our general fund budget that was tucked away in savings accounts when we went into the recession, this last recession. And it served us very well because we spent that money over a three-year period. We didn't take it all out at one time. We parceled it out in thirds. And we got through the crisis in pretty good shape. But the one thing that we learned from that is we could have had twice that much money and have been better off. So the governor came forward this year with a proposal to raise the cap on that rainy day fund from 5% to 10%. I heartily support it. I think it's good financial management.
What's the economic outlook, you think? I mean, everybody's still concerned. You know, we're trying to bring new jobs in here, which will be another source of revenue for the state. But, you know, everybody's worried about keeping their job.
You're exactly right. We've typically been a natural resource state, which has had timber mining and agriculture. There is some transition going on from those three natural resource-based industries. But one of the things that's been doing quite well is building. And that's been reflected in tax revenues that have been coming in, sales tax, and not only sales tax, but income tax revenues, because there is a lot of building going on. Construction is critical to a good economy. And if you drive around, you're seeing quite a bit of building and construction going on. Well, that has a whole plethora of ancillary businesses that it supports as well. So that's exciting to watch happen. In addition to that, then you see movement in the real estate market. And it all has a snowball effect. It's all intertwined. Idaho is not setting the world on fire, but we have had steady growth at a fairly decent pace. And that's good. That's probably better than a real high spike, just steady, slow increases in our economy.
Well, that's what the big money people like to see, though.
That's right. That's right.
Because it's consistent in,
yeah,
as much as you can, predictable growth.
That's right. Predictable. You're right.
Now, is the housing, we see a lot here in the Treasure Valley, but as you're traveling the state, on the trail, do you see the construction, let's say, in Coeur d'Alene and Twin Falls, in Idaho Falls, as you do here? Because, you know, we've got Jack's Place, we had Zion's Bank, we've got a ton of homes going up. In fact, a friend of mine yesterday, a young lady by the name of Martha, told me that on Eagle Road they're looking at putting up 400-unit apartments and stuff, high-end luxury apartments. I mean, are we seeing the growth just here, or is it throughout the state?
There is good things happening throughout the state, mostly in the metropolitan areas, not in the rural areas so much. But in the metropolitan areas, you're exactly right. Twin Falls, some of those areas are seeing some good construction projects going on. So that's good. That's to be expected.
More coming up. We're talking money in the state of Idaho. Idaho State Treasurer Ron Crane with us. Coming up next, the big...
Weekdays at 3. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. We're joined by Idaho State Treasurer Ron Crane with us as we continue on. So let's talk a little bit about the campaign. How do you see this race playing out, sir?
Well, it's an aggressive race, and we're going to have to work very hard, and that's okay. That's part of the process, and I like to get in front of the voters and talk about the issues that matter to the treasurer's office. I have a certain reporter up north, editor in a certain seaport town in Idaho, who has accused me of ducking debates during my tenure as the state treasurer. He wrote an article last week and said that in 1998, when I first ran, that I wouldn't debate my two primary opponents. Well, he was wrong. Well, there was a televised debate in Twin Falls on KMVT between myself and my two primary opponents. In 2002, he accused me of, or he referred to 2002 and said I ducked a debate in 2002. Again, he's wrong. My opponent didn't even print a brochure or a yard sign, And so Idaho Public Television called off the debate in 2002, said it's not a viable candidate. In 2006, my opponent, again, was from Sandpoint, Idaho, and didn't print a brochure or a yard sign. And Idaho Public Television called off the debate. There was no debate. In 2010, I didn't have an opponent, so there was no debate. And so he's saying that I have been ducking debates. Well, I have in my hand right here, Kevin, a letter from Channel 7 KTVB dated May the 28th inviting me to a debate on Channel 7 that will be taped on October the 13th. I accepted that debate and will be appearing at that date. And so the nice editorial writer from that paper in the certain seaport town in North Idaho is incorrect. And so I have decided that I'm going to have a little fun with it. I'm going to challenge my opponent to a debate right here on the Kevin Miller Show on KIDO. I'll give her a week to respond and see if she'll be willing to come on. You set the time, the parameters. We'll have you be the moderator, 30 minutes, an hour. I don't care. You name it. I'll be here, and we'll have a debate.
Wow, that would be good. That would be great. So we'll get word out to your opponent, and Ray, we'll contact them and see what happens. But what are the different visions between you and your opponent?
Well,
what's this campaign really about?
I think there's two worldviews. I think my worldview is a limited government, a taxpayer-sensitive sensitivity to the taxpayers, trying to save them money, trying to keep government small, trying to keep government responsible. I think my opponent's worldview, I don't know this lady well, but I think she subscribes more to the Obama philosophy that government should have the answers for everything, and that you should turn to the government to have your problems solved. I don't believe that. I believe that government should get out of the way. I think government is the problem. And
sure.
Therefore I view the role of government as being very limited, efficient, and responsible and transparent.
And you're willing to come on the air and express those views?
Absolutely. I would be glad to do that, and I challenge my opponent to meet me right here.
Well, we will take a look at that. Anything else that you'd like to share with us here at 580 KIDO?
Well, I would say this. You're aware that we have a division in our office called Unclaimed Property.
Yes.
And we're holding about $120 million in trust for Idaho citizens, trying to find the rightful owners and get that money returned to them. And KIDO has been so helpful in your sister stations as well in helping us get that word out to people. And we returned $5.5 million last year to people that didn't even know they had that money coming to them, and with your help. And I sincerely appreciate that and express my appreciation to you and your show and to the sister stations that have participated in helping us get that word out. We've lowered the processing time. We even got it down to 2 weeks at one point during the year. And then through all the media advertising of your station and others, that has popped back up to where we're about 45, 50 days now in processing a claim. But that's down from 6 months from when we inherited the program. So we're really proud of that. And we want to continue to return money to the rightful owners. And you guys played a central role in that.
Well, thank you, sir. I want to hit you with something because this is what we've talked about off the air, and we could talk about it on the air. Your commitment to life.
Yes, I'm strongly pro-life. Founding member, was a founding board member of the Lifeline Crisis Pregnancy Center in Nampa. I have a solid pro-life voting record when I was in the legislature for 16 years. I was kind of known as Mr. Pro-Life in the legislature. Wear that label very proudly. My opponent is on the board of directors for Planned Parenthood in Twin Falls. So that's two different worldviews, two different ideologies there.
But, I mean, we talk about the issue and those people that are champions of life. It certainly isn't just an issue. It's something spiritual. It involves the human life.
Life is sacred. Life comes from God, and He alone should determine when that life begins and ends.
When we look at our state, how dangerous is it when we're talking about pro-life folks? You know, you have your divisions within the pro-life community, but as someone who, you know, says, look, we've got to stand up for those little babies, how is Idaho doing?
Well, I would say that we're considered a strongly pro-life state in the whole scheme of things as far as being compared to other states. We have some good laws on the books. We've tried very hard to get pro-life laws passed. And, of course, as you know, there was always a legal challenge from the other side. But on balance, I believe that Idaho citizens support the pro-life position, that life is sacred, life begins at conception, and that the state has a compelling interest in protecting the unborn child who has no voice. And I think that's part of government's role.
What gets me, though, is how the left vilifies good folks like you, our friend David Ripley, and others. If we could just have a debate on the issue without the vilification, I think we'd be a lot better off.
Civil discussion is very hard to engage in when you get to this issue. It is an emotional issue, but you are so right. If we could have a civilized discussion of just the aspects that surround the issue itself and not the name calling and like you said, the vilification of people on the both sides of the fence, it would be healthy for all of us.
Well, look what happened to our friend Senator Winder a couple years
exactly.
ago.
You're right.
They put him out as a monster, and I'm like, that's Chuck Winder, and all he's talking about is saving kids.
You're right. My son was a co-sponsor on the House side of that same legislation, and he said that there was in one day, 1,000 internet sites that popped up criticizing him for his position for being pro-life and co-sponsoring that bill with Senator Winder.
And probably a lot of personal attacks.
Yeah.
Well, Ron Crane, we appreciate it. You want to give us any money?
Do I want to give you any money? That's taxpayer money. I don't have any free money to give away. I'll tell you what, though, if you have unclaimed property, you can go on our website and type in your name, click on the unclaimed property button, type in your name, and find out if we have any of your money, and we'll be glad to return it to you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
To Kevin Miller.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Kevin. A pleasure to be with you.
Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. How are you doing?
Good morning, Kevin.
Hi, Kevin. Morning.
Every morning.
Join the conversation with Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
6:39, Kevin Miller with you here. It's one of the hottest things going on, and if you've been to the multiple Facebooks that we have, the KIDO AM Boise Facebook, or the 580 KIDO Facebook, or the original Kevin Miller Facebook, you've seen the videos of people dumping buckets over their head. You saw me, only a talk show host would get this reaction, dumping a bowl of ice over my head. My sister, God bless her, called me out on this. And it's to benefit and to raise awareness for ALS. And unlike a lot of people, I decided to do it after mowing the lawn. So I'm looking a little bit more pinkish, maybe a little bit more medium rare than usual. And so I fill up a container full of ice. Mrs. Miller there goes, is that enough ice? Yes, that's enough ice, dear. That's enough ice. Can you get the iPhone going? Is it going? And I don't know if you can hear me. I'm constantly coaching. Okay, is it on? Are we going? Okay, let's go. Da-da-da-da-da-da. And probably one of my regrets is I didn't call out enough people. I should have just called out. I called out the entire Miller militia. And so far, let's see. Our new best friend from the Decadent Deplorable FM station, Crazy Jeff, hasn't stepped up. Tea Party Bob hasn't stepped up. Two Fly Bri, who has a new song out that we have to share with you soon, he stepped up. He stepped up right away. He answered the ALS challenge. And so I'm sitting there last night getting ready to go to sleep, and our friend Patriot Ray steps up. And by the way, he linked this to the Kevin Miller Facebook. And again, it's the audio doesn't do the video justice. I urge you to check this out. But I love Patriot Ray. I love the people on this program. Not a lot of people understand that this program is one of a kind. Most talk show hosts, it's about them. We try to make this program about you. And am I perfect? No. We all know that. Thank you, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, for pointing that out. However, it's about the sum of the parts. And it just amazes me than our friend Patriot Ray, who, by the way, I didn't call out, but did decide to take the challenge, decided to do this. And, you know, the snarky Alan L. Morton attorney at law keeps going, well, that's a real bucket. And so only a talk show host would get critiqued about the size of the container that he had ice pulled over. But I urge you to check out my Facebook, Kevin Miller, and it's about 28 seconds. We're going to share this with you. And this bucket is pretty darn big.
An ALS, so I hope you enjoy it. And you're giving my wife a lot of pleasure right now, if she can get it up there.
Oh, boy. Don't do it.
Football style, Grandma. There you go.
That's like a five-gallon bucket of ice and ice water. Hang in there, Patriot Ray.
That's soaking. Okay, Kevin, that's that.
You take a look at this and you go, what are these people doing? And Patriot Ray called out Ray Jr. We'll see that if he steps up, Ray Jr., that is. But awesome, Patriot Ray. We're always inspired by your positive attitude. And, you know, Fox News is covering this. Everybody's covering it now. I'd love to see Al Roker in the Today Show, Tamron Hall and all those folks do it. And people, you know, it's emblematic of the new way to communicate where people just kind of do these things, right? It's just amazing. So just some good news here as we roll along. Thank you, Patriot Ray. You made my day. And if people check out the video, it will make theirs. Phone numbers here, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Now, a lot of you may be using the hand sanitizer. I don't know what you do at church, how you get communion and the like, but it amazes me that when I go to church, we've got the Eucharistic ministers and everybody breaks out the hand sanitizer. In fact, there's a thing in the Catholic service where everybody shakes hands. And do you really want to shake hands with people that are coughing? I just kind of look at them and go, no, I'm good. But thankfully, we have the hand sanitizer, right? Because the hand sanitizer solves everything. Well, maybe not. Let's hear what Bill Vicka has to say at 580KIDO.
The hand sanitizer may not be the best way to keep kids from getting sick. Researchers in New Zealand installed hand sanitizers over two winters in nearly 70 classrooms. Students were told to use the dispensers anytime they coughed or sneezed. Other classrooms had no hand sanitizer. When kids missed school, calls were made to find out if they were sick. What they found was that the absentee rate between the two groups was virtually the same. There are limits to the study. The schools were wrestling at the time with an outbreak of the flu. But the best way to stop the spread of germs? Soap and water. Bill Vitka, Fox News Radio.
Not as sexy as the old hand sanitizer, right? Yeah, you can solve a lot of things with the soap and the water. You're going, gosh, does this guy have anything if he's talking about soap and water? But you know, everybody with their snooty-palooty things, it is interesting. Coming up, we're going to talk about health insurance and health coverage. If you're a state employee, you're doing quite well. Should state employees, because they're limited as far as their salary, get better health coverage than the rest of us? It's always the us's versus the them's, isn't it? But first, the top story domestically, if you will. By the way, funny how this story has pretty much thrown the... Do we still have people crossing the border illegally, Timmy?
Reverend Al Sharpton stepped in yesterday demanding justice for Michael Brown.
We don't want to just be told to shut up and suffer in silence. We must have answers.
Witnesses say a police officer repeatedly shot the unarmed 18-year-old Saturday, but authorities say Brown assaulted the officer first and attempted to grab his gun. Brown's death sparked two nights of violent protests in the St. Louis suburb, his father, Michael Brown Sr., appealing for calm.
I need all of us to come together and do this right. No violence.
Police are not releasing the officer's name because of death threats. Steve Rappaport, Fox News Radio.
They're not going to release the officer's name because of death threats. First of all, another reason to say, thank God we live in Idaho. You know, in Idaho, people will say, and, you know, we'll talk about what happened with the issues in North Idaho and all the troubles and all the reputation that this state has. But this is the only state, and I've lived in 11 of them, where race doesn't play as a divisive issue. And when people say to me, well, Kevin Miller, what about this? It's a compliment to you. It's a compliment to this community that people are respectful, that people are tolerant, that people don't see a person's color as much as one can and cannot do. Now, is everybody racially acceptive? No. And do we have issues? Yes. But you would never see what's happening in Missouri here in Idaho. And it begs the question, when are we ever going to step up and not be cowards and tackle this issue? And you have to have a certain responsibility for people in the black community, in the African American community. You have people coming in from out of town to loot. Now, what does, I mean, is it all about payback? And payback for what? Where does it say in any book that looting equates to payback? Now, this young man was shot and killed. That is a tragedy. But looting is not going to bring this young man back. Looting is not going to make the situation better. And again, it's unfortunate that the folks in Missouri are having to deal with this. And then you have Sharpton and the gang of usual suspects running around doing the community organizing.
This is the St. Louis County Police Department. Disperse now. Go home. You'll be subject to arrest.
Subject to arrest.
Disperse now, or you will be arrested.
Disperse now, or you will be arrested. You know, where is the leadership? And I understand that the president of the United States or the vice president can't be anywhere, but shouldn't somebody, maybe Claire, Senator McCaskill can jump in there and say something. Shouldn't somebody go in there and try and mellow everybody out? And I guess that's what Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton are doing. But in reality, folks, don't we really want a place where we all get along? I can remember many times, and, you know, if my mom's listening, she'll understand this when we're talking about it. Having worked in the South, lived in an all-black neighborhood, went to an all-black high school in inner-city New Orleans, I have a unique perspective on race. And having been there and seen the issues, you know, I think we live in the greatest country ever. You take a look at our sports heroes, our entertainment heroes, our president, and you can't tell me that there are racial issues in America. There aren't. There are people that get people fired up to do these bad things. And look, as a, I remember being called upon across the nation to go defend the N-word as a white man in front of 150 African-Americans at the television studios of WBAL in Baltimore, where you had host and chairman of the NAACP, Kwesi Nfume, challenging me as a white man. And as you know, I'm very white. Well, they put on enough makeup that actually appeared to make me appear whiter than I am. And why did I go there? Because you can't have rules for one class of people and rules for another. It doesn't work. And it breaks my heart what's going on in Missouri. Breaks my heart. But that ain't happening here in Idaho. And when anybody always says, oh, Idaho this, Idaho that, there are no racial issues here, right? 650, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Coming up, we'll talk health benefits for state workers. Is it time that everybody gets the same type of benefits? Equality for all, right? 580 KIDO, let's go to traffic.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Here we go. Those of you battling for the big health insurance, according to compiled from the Statesman today and the Pew Research, we've got Idaho's employee health insurance plans are comparable to the most expensive platinum option sold on the health insurance exchange under Obamacare and are better than most private companies provide. According to the Pew Charitable Trust, the report is the first of its kind to shine light on state's largest source of healthcare spending, second only to Medicaid. Private employers generally cover 80% of medical costs, while most Idaho residents who buy plans on the state's health exchange purchase less expensive options that cover 70% of the cost. The costs include deductibles, co-payments, such as visiting the doctor. Boy, don't we love that. Hey, what's your, you know, it's never, hey, how you doing? It's never, when you go to the doctor's office, is it? It's never, well, what can we do for you? It's insurance card, please. Insurance card, please. Isn't that so insulting? I mean, it's almost like you're going to Subway and you're, you know, trying to get the half off or the Books a Million or the Barnes & Noble. Do you have a membership card? Pew Director Maria Schiff said health insurance costs have become a leading budget driver for all states, but until recently, little has been known on how they compare with one another and the private sector. Well, here's how it breaks down. If you're a state employee, and look, we're not vilifying you, you exchange better benefits for, you know, the idea of safety and security, and you're not going to make a, you're not going to be a millionaire. On the other hand, the private sector, your chances of making a lot of money perhaps are a lot better. We'll talk about it next. Let's get you to work safely and on time at 6:59, 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up, we're going to take a look at schools revolting over the school lunch program. Where is George Bush and the broccoli, and my personal favorite, the Brussels sprouts? Troubling details next. Serving Meridian.